Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's always a joy to have you on board. It's a delight of ours to see you participate in this daily radio broadcast where we face issues that multitudes are fearful to face. May I remind us that we have the responsibility to be salt and light as Christians. That means that we are coming out of the closet so that we can be seen and heard, and we are to be that preservative and that illumination in a darkened society. In a moment, we're going to be talking about the demise of public education, the demise of public education. But before we get into my monologue on that, let me remind you of a seminar that's coming up this Friday evening and Saturday. This Friday evening and Saturday, it is God's 7,000-year Bible timeline, or if you prefer, you could call it the Kingdom of God. There are multitudes down through the corridors of time. In fact, over the centuries, scholars have studied and searched and surmised just how the world would stand and how long it would stand and what would be the end, what the end would be like. Some conclude that the world is millions of years old. You've heard these intellectual geniuses that introduced something by 60 million years ago or 50 million years ago or a billion years ago, whatever their monologue may be on that subject. But others are yet confused. Multitudes, though, try to appease the evolutionist on the subject of the age of the universe and what is going to take place. Well, this seminar walks you through 7,000 years. And we're saying that it's 7,000 years. We're approaching the 6,000 years now. Then there's a seven-year tribulation and a thousand-year millennial reign. That's the rule and reign of Christ on this renovated earth for 1,000 years. And then we're all gathered and carried into eternity. So we're talking about 7,000 years, and some might want to debate that and might want to disparage that. But I want us to understand that I believe God is symmetrical. This is being taught through Conservative Theological University right here on campus at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. That is located 1 mile south of I-295. If you're not already registered, let me encourage you to call 262-8275, 262-8275. Leave your name and contact information so someone in the office can call you back and get you registered for this Friday night and Saturday. It is a very, very fascinating study that I believe that everyone should be involved in, that you should understand. It is what I simply call a hard-hitting, absolutely poignant study that will focus on what God is doing. It's taking, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, this seminar is not just hypothetical. There are a number of timelines out there that are hypothetical where they come up with simply arbitrary and capricious dates. This is all based firmly on the authority of Scripture. What does the Bible say? It's a truth-finding, biblically derived, 7,000-year timeline that every Christian, every skeptic, every pastor, everyone that's involved in Christian ministry, Christian education, Christian counseling, you may be a Sunday school teacher, a deacon, or just simply saved and want to serve the Lord better. It is a thrilling, informative, challenging seminar. 6:30 on Friday afternoon, goes until about 9:30 Friday night. And then first thing on Saturday morning, 9 o'clock on Saturday morning till approximately 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, you'll have an hour's break for lunch. The university will serve a light finger food luncheon that would be filling. You would have the privilege of leaving campus if you'd like to get food. Otherwise, the cost is only $99. Now, ladies and gentlemen, many, many, many universities and colleges and schools offer seminars that 2 or 3 hour seminar or half a day seminar for $200 or $300 and sometimes $500 or more. And this is $99. For that $99, you get your light lunch, you get your a textbook, you get your syllabus and the lecture. You can't beat the price. And if there are three or more coming from your church, if there are three or more, it's $150 for three and then $50 for each additional one. That's almost like a gift because our cost is greater than that just to supply that for you. But we want you to hear this seminar. We want you to participate. This lecture is being conducted by my bride, Dr. Dorothy Youngblood, and she is well-equipped to teach this subject. Her Ph.D. was based on world history and Christian history, and this timeline was part of her dissertation for her Ph.D., and she's taught it across the Southeast and in major seminar settings with other institutions, as well as here on the campus of the university. So we invite you to participate. Again, the number for you to enroll, register for the seminar is 262-8275. Or if you prefer, just arrive about 30 minutes early. That means you get here about 6 o'clock, so you can get your registration form filled out and pay your fee for that and to participate in it. We're looking forward to having you join with us on that special occasion this Friday evening and this Saturday. The Kingdom of God, a 7,000-year Bible timeline, or as my bride likes to call it, Journey Through the Ages. It is an intriguing, challenging seminar. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture, not some philosophical, ideological basis, not based on some denominational rite, ritual, rule, or regulation, but simply what does the Scripture say, and how should we respond as Christians? Oftentimes, as we respond in the world, we're fearful of what the world might say in condemning us or challenging us. And ladies and gentlemen, this is the reason so many Christian pastors refuse to take a stand, refuse to be absolutely direct on what the Scripture says, and in particular, how do we respond to the decaying society around us. As we talk about today, the demise of public education, ladies and gentlemen, our founding fathers simply wanted an education system that would educate society. By the way, there's nothing in the Constitution that sets forth a Department of Education. The U.S. Department of Education is not in our Constitution. But George Washington, in his first presidential address ending his term as president, he left with a few departing words. Let me just read you a little blurb from an article entitled Education to the Masses. Washington's farewell address, 1796, delineated many of the recommendations Washington had for the future of his country. Amongst these suggestions was a public educational system. Washington instructed American leaders to, quote, promote institutions for the general diffusion of knowledge for our citizens. Further in the article, it says, Washington saw the importance of educating the American public as a means to grow the country economically, but also to create a well-informed populace to participate in America's newly founded democracy. Ladies and gentlemen, when we think about the educational system of what George Washington envisioned and what was set up ultimately as a educational system, by the way, at one point in time, Congress actually ordered the production, the printing of Bibles to be used in the public classroom to teach kids how to read. They were taught how to read from the Word of God, from the Word of God. But ladies and gentlemen, to the surprise of many today, our public educational system is an organization, it is a department in the federal system that over the years has simply witnessed the mega growth of this U.S. Department of Education. The fake media, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, did not give any airtime to President Trump's recent public remarks, wherein he said, and may I quote, he was merging the U.S. Department of Education into the Labor Department, the Department of Labor. End quote. It is my prayer, ladies and gentlemen, that our president, President Donald J. Trump, will in fact do that. It is ultimately the goal. In fact, the lady that's the head of the U.S. Department of Education has the same goal as President Trump, and that is to shut down, dispense with, stop having a U.S. Department of Education. And perhaps you are all alarmed on that and thinking, well, how do we educate our kids? Ladies and gentlemen, it was under the leadership of Jimmy Carter, the fiasco president of past that set up the Department of Education, and it's been a horrible fiasco ever since. We had students that were well-educated prior to 1971-72, approximate date of the U.S. Department's Education's origin under the leadership of Jimmy Carter. We had students that would graduate from schools and become educated, go into the a university and college system and receive a quality education, far cry greater education than we find today, and yet it was before the U.S. Department of Education. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm still in my monologue, but let me remind you, you can call and participate in this dialogue and discussion about the demise of the public educational system today, the demise of public education. You can call, get right through to the studio and the microphone where we can discuss this together by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413, get you right through to the microphone. Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we're facing the issue today on the demise of the public educational system. And as I said a moment ago, it is my desire and my prayer to see the U.S. Department of Education shut down. So why would this be a good thing? Very simply put, because we no longer, listen, ladies and gentlemen, U.S. Department of Education and the trickle down to most state departments of education, we're no longer in the educational business. No longer is the agenda today to educate your child or my child or grandchild. That is not the focus. In fact, because the educational labor unions, the educational unions, the teachers union, they have an absolute goal and agenda to absolutely set up a system that is designed to do nothing more than to inculcate brainwashing and to destroy the minds, academically speaking, of our kids today. In fact, you look at the plank, if you will, it's no different than a political plank with the educational system, with the teachers union. You look at their teachers union annual meeting, and they're focusing on how they can get more LGBTQ and more Islamic training in our schools. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, our educational system was never designed to teach Islam. It was never designed to teach how to have sex with the same sex, that is the LGBTQ, the sodomy mandate that is found today in most of our schools. From kindergarten through high school, that's the goal, that's the agenda. Today we're indoctrinating our children. Our children have become political props and puppets for the far left agenda. No more we focused on reading, writing, and arithmetic, as we used to call it, the three R's back yesteryear. No longer are we concerned about math and academics. No longer are we concerned about true American history. In fact, in our public school system today, from grade school to high school, even through the academia found in the university or the college system today, most of our kids graduating from these institutions, most of these coming out of the public educational system, do not know true American history. Our graduates do not know a simple line or a simple phrase from the U.S. Constitution. And yet we call that education. Most of them graduating from high school today, ladies and gentlemen, and if you're listening, you've got a child in high school, if you don't believe it, check it out on, just go to Google and check out the academic standards in America compared to about 49 other nations around the globe. We are about 49 when it comes to English and math and the sciences. We are absolutely low on the totem pole with the academic process, and yet we continue to shovel mega billions of dollars into the educational system, even right here in DeVault County. We're shelling out hundreds of millions of dollars each year out of taxpayers' coffers to educate our children, but most of them know nothing about American history, our Florida history, our U.S. history in general. Most do not know anything about our form of government, and our Constitution certainly is a foreign object to most public school students today, not only in DeVault County, but across the state of Florida and around the nation. We are in trouble, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to our educational system today. So just what are some of the most high-profile problems in our educational system? What are some of the most high-profile difficulties that we find in the educational – I'm not talking about now at this juncture just reading and writing and arithmetic. I'm not talking about just the academic process. But what do we find where our students, our kids, are being used as propagandist tools, where our kids are being used as props and as puppets? What do we do when we find that Islam has totally inundated our school system? Islam is in control, ladies and gentlemen, of most of the textbooks being published and approved by the State Department and the U.S. Department of Education. They are not only in control of the publishing, but also the editorial boards and staffs that produce the educational curriculum for our public schools today on every level and in every state. And if you don't believe that, just search down the publishing houses, look up the publishing houses of your kids' textbooks and see where they come from and who's publishing them and who's on the editorial board making the decision. And let me just cut through the chase just very briefly and I'll get back on track. In our public educational textbooks, fifth grade through 12th grade in particular, there's five times more said about Islam than about Christianity and about Judaism. They're literally inundating your children and your grandkids with the idea of Islamization of America. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, this is Greg. In listening to you for a few moments here, I suppose it brings to my recollection the fact that, you know, Christians have somewhat abandoned the process. In the early 1900s, pretty well, they let this idea of public education, government-controlled education, take root. And it was early 1900s that John Dewey became the head of the National Education Association. And he was an avowed socialist, and he installed a series of programs and plans and ideals that would basically help reform what we know of today as public schools or public education and take them down that path of socialism. So it opened the door for a lot when Christians decided to withdraw from the public square. And it seems like that the fruit is just being seen. We've seen it since the 60s, I guess. We had a series of court cases and of course, a lot of chaos in the 60s. And those same individuals then that were, protesting and rioting and this and that and the other are today professors or administrators in a lot of our Ivy Leagues and public colleges and universities.
But, you're exactly right, and I appreciate you coming on that because it was John Dewey in 1933 with the Humanist Manifesto, and in the Humanist Manifesto, he made a very bold statement that he would make the total nation a humanist nation, and he would do so through the educational process. And secondly, you're exactly right, and it's because Christians have abandoned the marketplace of ideas. The Christians have abandoned the hands-on control of what's being taught to our kids in school today. Somehow, some way, as I've said so many times, that moms and dads are just interested and concerned in seeing that child get on the big yellow school bus of a morning and that yellow school bus bringing them back in the afternoon and the 8 or 10 hours in between. They could care less what's being taught, what's being said or done. The average parent's philosophy is they're the educators. They know what to teach my child. I don't. I'm just a little dummy, so I'm going to leave it up to the schools. And yet we find in the scripture that it is the parent's responsibility more than anybody else or any other institution to train our children. You're exactly right.
But, today it leaves a Christian in a predicament because we as Christians, we as believers, we pay taxes at state, federal, and local levels. However, our tax dollars are used many times to do things that are completely contrary to that which we would want for our children. And I'll tell you right now, you can put your child, if you send them off to that government-controlled school for that 30, 40 hours a week, you'll never fix what was messed up. You'll never fix it in the 30 minutes a day that the average parent spends with their child. You'll never fix it by taking them to church on Sunday. Once they've been indoctrinated to the point, to the degree that takes place in these public schools, when I say indoctrinated, I mean trained in negative things. I mean, they're steeped in this sexually immoral culture. They're steeped in this evolutionary ideology. They're steeped in things that are anti-God, anti-Christian on for all those many hours out of the week. And you're not going to change that in a few moments out of the day. The child ought to be trained up in the way he should go early on in life. They have to be founded in the scripture. Otherwise, it becomes chaos. Today, for the believer, it seems like, pray that you can get your child into a charter school or K-12, you know, online education, or homeschool them to preserve them from the chaos in most jurisdictions. There are some jurisdictions that we still have some pretty good, you know, government schools, public schools, where the parents are extremely highly involved and the teachers are founded in their faith to begin with. You touched on the parent having the ultimate responsibility for education. A few years back, Hillary Clinton came out with her "It Takes a Village" garbage, and I'll tell you, you hit the nail right on the head. It takes a mom and a dad. It takes a village.
Absolutely.
It takes a mom and a dad and a Christian focused household. But I do have to go. I thank you so much for your great work.
Well, brother, you're so on target, and I appreciate your call more than you know, and what you said was so apropos to what I'm saying today, because one of the major problems we're finding in our public school is the LGBTQ control in what's being taught under what's called sex education. Thank you so much for our call. Looking forward to you calling back and joining other dialogues and discussions. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that talks about what's happening in our public school. The article says, parents outraged as Pennsylvania school district forces students to watch LGBTQ videos, then denies parents the request to see it. Further, the article says, celebrating something called LGBTQ Unity Week, a Pennsylvania school district forced its 2,800 students to watch a pro-LGBTQ video that the students' parents were barred from viewing. And it goes on to talk about this that is taking place. When rightly outraged, parents contacted the school and demanded links to the videos that their children are being forced to watch. They were given a swift and definitive answer, and the answer was a resounding no. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you check on what your child is being taught, but even right here in Duval County, I am saddened to say that we have an inept school board, we have an inept educational system, and we're dumping hundreds of millions of dollars in it of taxpayer money. And across the nation, there's a major movement today that's unknown and unheard of and not publicized, generally speaking, by the left-wing loose-likes, lost nuts in the media, that's the fake news media. And that is that school students are being pulled out of the public school system by the thousands, and they're being homeschooled or charter schooled our Christian education. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, the first choice, God's word, the first choice for a parent is homeschooling. And the second choice is Christian school. And the third choice would be, if you could not do anything different, would be a charter school. And the last resource, the last bastion of education, should be viewed as the public educational system, not the first choice. But ladies and gentlemen, the LGBTQ, and we'll talk about it more in a moment. But first of all, I want us to understand one of the primary things that's happening is with the Islamic takeover, of our public school system. Here's an article that says, revolt grows over the Islamization of U.S. school system. An organization fighting Islamic indoctrination in the San Diego public school system, it's already in court over the issue, is now insisting on access to the communication between Seattle school officials and the Council on American Islamic Relations, better known, ladies and gentlemen, as CARE. CARE is the head of all that we see taking place in America under the guise of Islam. This article goes further. The organization alleges that school officials improperly are giving CARE and its anti-Islamophobic initiative undue control over the school's entire curriculum system. The case was brought by the parents in the district who are suing over the pro-Islamic instruction material sold by CARE to the school district. CARE calls itself America's largest civil rights liberties group. But a co-founder, Omar Ahmed, stated that Islam should be America's dominant religion and that the Quran should be the highest authority in all of America. Ladies and gentlemen, what's taking place in our school will shock you to death. What's taking place in our public school system, the governmentally controlled system, what is taking place there will absolutely brainwash your child or any grandchild, any parent's child. If you have a child in school, study their literature, look at their curriculum, ask questions, challenge the teacher. Why are you teaching this? Why are you using this textbook? But ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that's happening under the guise of education in our school today, children are taught that Islam, the Islamic call to prayer. children are taught to how they can convert to Islam. We're talking about in public classrooms, ladies and gentlemen, in the public school system. Students are taught to make believe that they are Muslim and to dress Islamic. Children are taught in the public school system today, and Islamic students are allowed to leave the classroom five times a day to go to a prayer room for Islamic prayer. And that is during the students' academic time. Christians cannot get up and walk out and go and pray. There's no cross in the classroom. There's no picture of Jesus. There's no Bible being read. There's nothing that alludes to anything called Christianity. But Islam is dominant, and it's pressed toward the indoctrination of our sons and daughters in the public arena, in the public school system. Islamic students are provided that prayer time and also prayer rooms that's paid for, provided by the taxpayer's expense, with prayer rugs that that Islamic student can go in and fall down on that prayer rug and pray to Allah, the fake, phony, false moon god that is now being viewed by some like Rick Warren in California. The pastor, Rick Warren, he's calling it Chrislam because he's blending Christianity and Islam, saying they're sister religions. Our State Department of Education are using textbooks that are produced by and Islamically held organizations and published by Islamic publishing houses and authors. Ladies and gentlemen, the textbooks give major amounts of focus on Islam and very little focus on Christianity and Judaism. This article before me, one article says, judge to hear the alleged Islamic takeover of our public schools. A federal court has scheduled a hearing in late July on the case alleging Muslim activities have hijacked the curriculum in the public school system. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening to the broadcast Let's Face the Issues, and we're talking about today the demise of the public educational system. Ladies and gentlemen, it's bad enough with what's happening with Islam, but just as our previous caller talked about the demoralization and the degradation of our students and their morals and ethics and values as a result of the LGBTQ. The LGBTQ sodomite community today has a firm stronghold in our educational system, a firm grip on the educational system. And parents are simply not realizing that our students are pawns under the guise of sex education. Our students in the public school system, ladies and gentlemen, are being taught that there's no such thing as male and female as the only two genders, that there are multiple genders. It's whatever your sexuality, whatever you may perceive your sexuality to be. Homosexuality is taught as the norm. There's no such thing as just male and female, but sexuality is fluid as they're taught. Students are allowed to cross-dress. Students are introduced to the garbage of the LGBT sodomite movies and videos under the guise of sex education from K-5, kindergarten 5, and up. Ladies and gentlemen, parents are right of having the increasing concern about what's happening. It's happening in Pennsylvania schools. It's happening in Virginia schools. It's happening in Florida schools. It's happening across America in our public educational system in what I call simply the indoctrination of our students. But listen, there is a good point. There is a good summary that I can leave us with. Governor Matt Bevin publicly signed a bill allowing Kentucky's public school systems to once again teach the Bible, the Word of God. We'll be talking about this further on the broadcast tomorrow about is it right, is it constitutional for a Bible, for the Bible to be taught in our public schools. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air once again tomorrow as we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.